Okay, let me begin today with a question. How many of you enjoy shopping? Okay, how many of you do not enjoy shopping? Okay, thank you for both responses. For that second group, I don't wholly believe you. Now, so I'll tell you how it works in my house. Many of you know I have a couple sons. And when mom wants to go to the store to buy clothes, no one wants to go. No one enjoys that idea. But I recall at least one of my sons, when it was time to go shopping for a new car. Wow, is he first in the car? That was exciting. So let me repeat my question slightly differently. How many of you enjoy making certain special purchases? How many of you don't enjoy making special purchases? Ah, good. Now, maybe it's a pair of shoes, maybe it's a video game, maybe it's some other thing that you think is particularly wonderful. But I think all of us, when we make those special purchases, it gives us a good feeling, maybe even a sense of excitement, a sense that we're doing something really good. But let's think about that for a certain point of view, because whenever we're making that special purchase, we're getting something, and we're handing over good money. We're actually losing money. And yet, we have this really good feeling about it because of what we're getting in return. Now, my sermon title is Giving Rules, which bears a couple different interpretations. And the interpretation I want you to take at the beginning here is giving, I don't know how to say it in a way that quite, giving should rule in the life of the church and of Christians. And maybe I should say joyful giving should rule in the life of the church and of Christians. And that joy should not be so different from when we make those special purchases. Because even though we're giving up some of our hard-earned money, we're getting back something of value, something that actually makes our heart beat a little bit faster. And when we give to the work of God, whether it's in the very formal sense of the offering, as we just received, or whether we give something to somebody who's just needs a little bit of help, whether it's a sandwich or whatever, we're getting back something extremely valuable. And it's really important that we see that and that we know that and we understand it. Maybe so deeply that our heart beats a little bit faster at those moments when we realize that God has given us the privilege of being part of what He's doing on the earth. When perhaps we fill some of those shoe boxes that are in the back there, and we realize that somebody who we may never meet, who we probably will never know, in this life, anyways, will receive a benefit. And a benefit that may bring them closer to God and may fulfill God's purposes in redeeming the earth. It's an amazing thought that we get to be part of those types of activities. And so in this sense, giving rules, or at the very least, giving ought to rule in our hearts and in the life that we live together as a church. Now, there's another interpretation for this title, and that is, instead of giving rules, rules for giving. Giving rules. Now, I in fact prepared a long list of rules we might want to consider, but happily, perhaps because we don't have so much time, I will fold up most of those, and we won't have to go through every last one of them. Although there probably is some benefit for us giving some attention to the type of structure which perhaps God has given us in understanding our giving. But let me just focus on one rule, and that is the so-called rule of the tithe. So we read today from Malachi about how at that particular time the descendants of Jacob, that's how they were addressed, were robbing God by failing to give the tithe, which God had asked them, if you want to be very strict, commanded them to give. And God explains to them the consequences of both robbing God and of cooperating with God. And there's a simple command in verse 10. This is Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Don't shortchange God. So, the question comes up in terms of giving rules for Christians. Does this rule apply to us? That you should bring a tithe. 10% of your income into the storehouse. It's an interesting question. So, from a strict point of view, that command was given to the descendants of Jacob. And we could sit back here and say, oh, whew, that doesn't apply to me. Not me. I'm not a descendant of Jacob. Doesn't count. I'm off the hook for that one. And in a technical sense, I don't think you would be wrong. My personal belief is that is not a command which applies to you and I in this day. But I hope no one is sitting there thinking with a sigh of relief, oh, I don't have to do that. Because I think that would really miss the larger point. Now, before I go to the larger point, I could and perhaps should point out to you that Jesus said to his followers, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That should get our attention. It really should. And since the scribes and the Pharisees were so meticulous in giving 10%, that perhaps should tell us that, well, 10% is the least we should be giving. Maybe 20 or 30% is more appropriate. And we should give that some real thought. But I have to tell you, I have a slightly different take on that situation. And my take really goes back to our call to worship today. So I'll help you recall. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. And there's a certain kind of danger that comes with the thinking that we give 10% to God, and the rest is ours. So we think, or we might think, okay, God gave me this, and I'm really happy that I got this. And out of gratitude, I should take this part, give that back to God, and yeah, I got the rest here. This is mine. Do with what I feel like I can do. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Let me see if I understood this right. The earth is 10% God's, and everything in it, 10% is His, and the world and all who live in it, 10% belong to Him. Oops, maybe he doesn't say that. I think ultimately the deeper truth is that our righteousness is not measured by the percentage that we think belongs to God, because it all belongs to God. And God does call us to be givers, and we should not neglect giving. And the practice of tithing, I believe, is often a practice that God individually calls us to do, perhaps in part as kind of training wheels towards us gaining the understanding that 100% belongs to God. Let me make a comment or two on 100% belonging to God. You might be thinking, oh, Uncle Jonathan is suggesting I have to give everything. That when the offering bag comes around, I should put in everything that I got this week in there. And that will be that. Not so easy. That would be an easy thing for us to do in some sense. God calls us to be stewards of what He gives us. 100% of it. So God won't be satisfied if we gave Him the 10% and then took the 90% and used it for things in opposition to His will. Even if we just use 1% in opposition to His will, we're failing to be the good stewards. Now, I don't want to take up too much more time, but in our scripture reading today, we read 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 33. And this didn't really pertain to giving, but pertain to eating. And you might ask the question, well, what's the relationship between these things? Well, this passage on eating starts out with the observation that everything is permissible. As Christians, we are free of the law. So we don't have to figure out, can we eat shrimp? Is pig's feet okay? How about frogs? Where do they fall? We don't have to worry about those things. We really don't. But the fact that we don't have to worry about those things also gives us a responsibility that as we eat freely and joyfully before God, we also will be mindful of what impact it may or may not have on those around us. That is to say, our freedom is not to be exercised simply because of our will, but our freedom should be exercised for the glory of God and the benefit of those people who we remember Christ died for them. Okay? So we have actually a very heavy responsibility within our freedom. Okay? And this freedom is a freedom from what you might call accounting. If we give 11%, well, that's okay. If we give 9% in God's will, I have to say, that's okay. But at the end of the day, our real understanding is it's 100% that we're responsible for. And this has some very practical applications. I know most of you haven't done income taxes, but a number of us here have done income taxes, some of us many, many times. And so one of the things that comes up when you do your income taxes is, okay, you collect all your receipts from all the giving you've done for the past year, and you hopefully see that it adds up to what God wants it to add up to. I'm not going to say it's necessarily 10%, but that's not a bad guideline, by the way, as we're learning to be good stewards. And see, there's a real danger here. And we can look and say, oh, I got the 10%. I'm good. But perhaps God really cares about the other 90% as well. And perhaps some of those purchases weren't the right purchases. Some of those investment decisions weren't really following God's will. Some of those things. And yes, all of those things belong to God ultimately, and ultimately we are stewards. Now, I have to say there is some real complexity, because as human beings, we're, as a rule, lousy with money. Okay? I almost was going to ask you to raise your hand if you thought you were good at managing money, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to just tell you, most of us are really lousy at it. And as an illustration of that, I think most of you will be aware that when people win a lottery, sometimes millions of dollars, it is extremely common. In fact, I believe a majority of such people are broke within 5 years. Okay? Now, how could that be? Well, it's because in some very real sense, we're all really pretty lousy with money. Okay? God calls us to be stewards. It takes us some time to learn how to do that well. Or, you know, many of us perhaps never really get particularly good at it. But we do need to remember that God does call us. And that God is involved in not just the 10% of our spending decisions, but 100%. And so if there's any message today, it is that we as Christians are called to give. But we're also called, and perhaps more importantly, to be stewards. And that stewardship means looking after more than a 10% tithe we might give, but 100% of our money, 100% of our time. And this requires us really to follow Jesus. And you see, part of it is we do have to take care of ourselves. We have to buy food for ourselves. We have to buy clothing and houses or housing for ourselves, for our families. We have to see to the needs of those around us. And God suggests to us we really need to be good at it. We have to be generous, and we also have to learn how to be wise in our generosity. And I'll tell you, it's not a simple thing. You might think, well, there's a certain problem somewhere, and God wants me to give to that problem. And it very likely is true. And please, when God speaks to you to help, in something, whether it's your neighbor or someplace on the other side of the world, please heed the Spirit of God. But at the same time, we need to really heed the Spirit of God and to understand that we have responsibilities as stewards on the other side of the world and around us. And those are probably lifelong learning situations. Handling money is not actually a very easy thing. It's a very complex thing. It involves our heart, a lot of heart decisions. It involves our mind, some actual calculations. You may have to get your calculator out to do some finances. But it is something which does bring glory to God when we don't rob from God, first of all. That should be easy, we pray. But then also manage the resources that He gives to us 100% for His glory. And so that is certainly my prayer for us all.